Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. And we do give you a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. She comes river beside you and say, the Lord bless you. Praise God. And we give everyone a happy new year welcome. Another year's end. Praise God. Let us turn to Revelation chapter 6. Just to read two verses to get a text. And I'm sure you've noticed I have new decorations this morning. I'm getting ready last night to go and see our brother Keith and clean him his teeth and knock the tooth out. Knock the crown of a tooth. And I've had it fixed so many times. And I don't know what they'll do with it this time. But once I had the teeth cleaned, I looked in the mirror and I couldn't believe it. Half a tooth missing. But praise God. But Brother Keith wants to thank everyone for praying for him. And I went to see him last night, pray with him again. He was having tremendous pains in his back and his lung. They had given him some sort of a painkiller patch and he had an allergic reaction to it. And he had me to lay hands on him and pray for him last night, you know. And I heard he wasn't too well during the night, you know. In the message called Deep to the Call to the Deep, William Branham explains in there about healing. And he says, many times when you're prayed for, you feel worse. He said, that's the best sign. But he says, what happens is when people feel worse, unbelief comes in. And they start to say, I'm not healed. And he says, that's when it resurrects again. But he says, your body, when you feel sick or you feel unwell, that's your body rejecting whatever it says is in there that shouldn't be in there. Because your body knows it shouldn't be in there and it's rejecting it. And that's why there can be a reaction. But he says, it's your faith takes it away, unbelief will bring it back. And I'm telling you, we need to have talking faith. When we pray or we're prayed for, we need to believe it. Just like Abraham, we need to believe it, praise God. Now, a miracle's totally different. A miracle, God just does it.
Amen.
That's why I said the other week, we need miracles.
Glory.
Amen. Yes. And I believe God still does them. Praise the Lord. But keep praying for Brother Keith. Pray for Brother Matthew as well. Matthew's this problem with asthma. And, you know, it's like some people with hay fever. Depends on the weather conditions, then it hits you. But it's a lie as well. It is a lie. The fella said to me, hey, people come round in cycles. I says, well, it can keep a cycle. Give it the cycle. Chase the cycle. Don't accept it. Get rid of it. My hay fever, my asthma, it's not yours. It's the devil's.
Amen.
Give it back to him.
Right.
Amen. Amen. But I've been praying for brother. Believe. You can pray for again if you have to. But believe God. You know, I want to say this before we read this scripture, and I know I'm making a stand, but I was thinking this morning as I'm sitting there, I told you all last week I thought of that scripture, be still and know that I'm God. And I'm going to tell you one thing about that scripture. The morning my dad came home and got that scripture, everything didn't change that day. Went the opposite, because I get jailed. I get put in jail just after he got the scripture. Everything went the wrong road, as far as the eye would look. But yet with all, God was moving. And it came about right, but not the way maybe we thought, but God done it. God did do it. And you remember, Jesus is never late. Praise God. Let us read this in verse 7 of Revelation 6. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And remember that this is the last beast. Only the first four scenes, there's a beast, but in the fifth scene, there's no beast to announce the opening of the seal. And you remember after the fourth seal, the church is raptured. Because a lot of the fifth seal owns to the Jews. Praise God. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the first begotten from the dead. Father, we thank you that you said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Lord, we worship you this morning, and we praise your name. We say we love you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us our unbelief. Help us to have faith in your word. And help us to hear the word. For faith cometh by hearing the word. Lord, this morning bless every head that's bowed in this house. Meet every need, I pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray again for Brother Keith, that thou would indeed deliver him and set him completely free from every affliction. We plead the power of the blood upon him. We place between him and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Amen. Lord, I pray for me, Auntie Eiling, this morning as well, that you'll strengthen her.
Glory.
That you'll touch her.
Jesus' name.
Lord, that you'll cause her to rise within herself.
Amen.
Within the inner man.
Yes.
That the power of the Spirit of God will come upon her. Give her courage. Grant her grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, pray for Matthew that you'll help him to have the faith he needs to overcome this asthma attack, this demon. Lord, we come against this demon power in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it in Jesus Christ's name. We know, Lord, that asthma didn't come from you, but all sickness came because of sin. And Lord, you're the remedy for sin.
Hallelujah.
2,000 years ago, by your stripes, we were healed.
Glory.
And we pronounce your healing upon your children and upon your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we plead the power of the blood of Christ upon our brother Matthew this morning. Touch him, we pray, and deliver him. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for any others that need your touch in this house, for a backache, Lord, for a sore head, heal that back in the name of Jesus. Take away that headache. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we'll thank you for it. Father, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. I'm reading this morning. I'm not really specifically wanting to preach on the seals. But I was saying to my father the other week, you know, when you go to preaching on the seals and you go into the churches and you go into the seals, and if you're coming along to one service and then you miss several services, then you come back in, you've missed it. You'll never follow it like that. You have to follow it right with the word.
Amen.
So typical. As a pastor, if you want to do a series on something and then people miss it off of it, it doesn't work. And then people come and say, well, I don't know what it's about. And that's why we have the church ages and the seals, and I believe God wants us to read them.
Amen.
So we know what it's about. God didn't do it for no reason.
Right.
But here in this fourth seal, and you know there's four seals, and the first opening of the first seal revealed the white horse rider. And we know that white horse rider was the Antichrist. And that wasn't known in every other age. Because when you can read all the commentaries you want and they don't say it's the Antichrist, they say it was the Holy Spirit. 90% of them say it's the Holy Spirit. But we know that God said in the days when He sends the Spirit of Elijah, Revelation 10:7, the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God should be finished, declared, made known. That's what that says. So we're living in the day when the mysteries of God declared, made known. Now I know some people say, God has shown us absolutely nothing. Well, whoever said that, they're not reading the Bible I'm reading. I'm sorry. Now it was in here, and it was known, but you have to agree with me this morning that a lot of these things were lost down through the ages. But God promised that He would bring them out of the end time and show them to His people. And when God sent the last church age messenger, who believes He sent him? When God sent the last church age messenger, the seventh angel messenger, and you remember Revelation says seven stars in the hands of Jesus, and stars represent angels, and angels represent messengers. And in the hand, right hand, which means all power and all authority. And when the seventh angel messenger came with the message to bring out these great truths, he showed us that this white horse rider was not the Holy Spirit, but it was the Antichrist himself. And he never changes. He might change his mask, his form, but he's the white horse rider. He's the same one, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. He's the same one all the time. And you know how Brother Branham explained it out, and your Bible tells you that he had a bow in his hand and no arrows. He's a bluff. Death and hell follows him. And you see, God sent a spirit every time this Antichrist spirit goes out riding on his horse, and the horse speaks of power and authority. You know, you ever see the power of a horse? It speaks of power, authority. And as this horse rode out, God sent the spirit to combat the power of the enemy. And you remember, when God combats something, he doesn't half do it. Or you know, it's not some sort of a thing where God fails. How many knows that God always wins? But the first thing was sent out to combat it was a lion. The second was the calf, the fourth, third was the face of a man, and the fourth was a flying eagle. And I've heard people preaching about the face of the man and the flying eagle, and they talk about the different anointings and all them things. That's all good, it's all wonderful. But I'll tell you one thing you have to be careful about. It's the same Holy Spirit sent out each time. Because it's a flying eagle, it's not, you know, a different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit.
Yes,
maybe a different manifestation, but the exact same Holy Ghost. And there's only one Holy Spirit. So God sends us power to combat the power of the enemy. But over in this fifth seal, over and you see, now let me read it again. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And then if you read on down, in the fifth seal, there's no beast sent out to combat in the fifth seal, because there's going to be a rapture of the church after these four seals. And the fifth seal is souls under the altar crying. How long? And you know the many was martyred, and the Jews were slain. And souls are crying under the altar. And I don't want to go into too much till the scenes this morning and so forth in the 6 days of tribulation. And you know the 7 seas of half hour silence. And there was so much fallouts, arguments and all over the 7 seas. And everybody seems to know it. And my opinion is not very many of them know much about it at all. And when Brother Branham brought it out, he says, just you leave it alone. Or you'll get yourself confused. But you know this here, what he said. He said, it is the coming of the Lord. And he said, be you ready every moment and every hour for the coming of the Lord. He said, we have saw the appearing, but we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. We're waiting on the coming of the Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ has not come yet. So we're not in the millennium reign. We haven't been through the tribulation. So these things are still to happen. And we know the seventh seal, there's a lot in it. And I know so many people say they know all about it. In my opinion, they don't know all about it at all. And they say things that there's no scripture for it, and they preach things that say it's a message, and you can't find it in any of the message. But I'm not really here to go on to the sea this morning. But do you want you to see there's no beast to announce this fifth seal? The church age is finished at this point. Now what I mean by that is a rapture takes place. Now what happened here is people take these statements and they say the church age ended, now we're in a different age. We're in a bright age. But brother, there's bright in every age. Sister, there's bright in every age. There's seven church ages and there is bride in every single church age. Luther's message, when they believed it, called that a bride. Wesley's message, when they believed it, called so forth. Right on up to the last church age. And when the church age finishes under this fourth seal, it is clear when the fifth seal comes in, there's been a rapture. So when the church age finishes, there's been a rapture. Then you're into the 3.5 years where you've went on to be with the Lord. You've had the body change. You went home to be with heaven. And that's the end of the tribulation period. Once you get into that tribulation period, you're into the trumpets, you're into the vials. You're into so many scriptures, it's for Israel. And a lot of people mix them all up. And it confuses people. And it is confusing. You have to... I honestly believe you better just to leave it unless you know what you're talking about. Amen. But there's enough we know about what we can talk about. And there's no point guessing what the seventh seal is. There's one thing I believe is the coming of the Lord. And there's one thing I want to say to you this morning. You need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And the coming of the Lord's at hand. Amen. I'm just saying that as a blank statement. There's a lot more to it, but I'm just saying that. How many agree with you this morning? Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, in Revelations 20 and verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented there night forever and ever." And you see, people today are preaching an eternal hell. They're preaching that people have eternal life in hell. Now, that's one of the things that the messenger corrected. I want you to get that. When people say, "He never showed us anything, we knew it all," well, that's one of the things he corrected. That everybody preached what was wrong. There's no eternal hell. And your Bible proves you that. But there is a time when this false prophet and this beast are cast into hell and into the lake of fire. Look, we've read it. The lake of fire, and you know it's for a period of time as well. There's a time come called the second death, which Ezekiel talks about, which Revelation talks about. Revelation 20, verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up, the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Verse 14 of Revelation 20. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Your first death is death of the physical body. Second death, complete annihilation. There's no such... You can't preach that people have eternal life in hell. There's only one form of eternal life. That's through Jesus Christ. And the fact that they're in hell is the fact that they've rejected Christ. So they can't have eternal life. So when people preach that people have eternal life in hell, they're not preaching the Bible. They're preaching a man-made theology idea. I want you to get this morning, that there's only one form of eternal life. And the form of eternal life is through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. He's called death and hell like the devil. Isn't this someone? The pale horse rider. Death and hell followed him. Everywhere he goes there's chaos. Everywhere he goes there's death. The enemy's come to kill, to steal, and to rob. The opposite to Jesus. Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That means the fullness of life and all the blessings with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means when God says, I will bless you, God means what he says. That means when God says, he sent his word and healed them, that means what he says. Don't accept the enemy's, this pale horse rider's message. Take the message of Jesus. Verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Those dead that were in hell were not finished at this point. You know, people that reject Christ, they go to hell, a place called hell, a place. Now listen, the Bible speaks more about hell than it does about heaven. How many knows that? There's more scriptures on hell than there is about heaven. Because God is warning the people about hell. Not many people preach about hell today. Years ago we used to talk about hell, fire, and brimstone preachers. But I'll tell you what we have today in a lot of big places today. Lovey-dovey preaching. God loves everybody and everybody's love, and love your neighbor, love this, love that, love that. But God's a God of justice. God's going to judge this world, he says, through the man who he's appointed, Jesus Christ. God's going to judge this world. But I tell you, people think they go to hell and there's torment in hell. And you know, you take the word, but brother, the Bible says forever and ever. That's right. The Bible also says that Jesus cursed the fig tree forever. Now hold that thought for a moment. It's true. But remember, when God burns this earth with fire and brimstone, wherever that tree is, or wherever God curses, whatever's left in the ground, it's gone. How many knows that? And I'll tell you, hell, the Bible says, will be cast into the lake of fire, which is a second death. Now God's going to bring them all out. They're going to be judged. All those that's murdered and never repented, all the different things, I'm not even going to start to name them, but all of them's going to have to give an account before Almighty God. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But you remember Jesus says that if you're a real believer, that the second death has no power over you. How many knows Jesus said that? He did. Hell delivered up the dead. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. A period of time. Aeons of time beyond what you could count. But there's an end to it. But there's no end to eternal life. Yeah. Eternal means eternal. No beginning. No ending. Now here's why I'm preaching this morning. Death had an origin. Are you following me? Death had a beginning, but life didn't. It always was. When did God begin? He's eternal. But death had an origin. It began. And it's going to end. And Satan began. God made him. God made him. I heard a fellow on some, I can't remember where it was, somebody sent me a clip the other day about music. And he said, music is the only thing that wasn't created here in the earth. It was made in heaven. And he said, who made it? He said, the devil didn't make it. God did. God invented music. But he put the devil in charge of it. Everybody knows he was in charge of the music in heaven. That's why in music, you know, music's made for to worship God with. We're to worship God with music. Come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise and make a joyful noise unto the Lord with the harp, the tambourine, the cymbal and the stringed instruments. Doesn't the Bible say it? Lift your hands, all ye people, unto the Lord. But the devil knew that. But this fellow really goes into it and he proves that there's a part of your brain doesn't function when you enter into listening music. And I never knew that. Who, anybody in here ever knew that? Well, that's scientifically proven. Not that that means much, really. But this part of it is a part of your brain stops working when you get into music. And there's nurses here and doctors and so forth. Listen to me. You know, they say on some sort of operation this man talked about, and the medication the people need for it, this operation, it's really hard on them, and they have to give them a large dose of it. But if they let them listen to rock music for so many minutes, they only have to administer half the dosage. Because part of their mind closes down listening to the music, and they don't feel it the same as they would without it. But what it's all about is that the devil is brainwashing our society, our children, our homes with his music. He's infiltrated the music, but the music was God made the music for us to worship him with. Another work of the pale horse rider. Christians shouldn't be listening rock music. You know, one time somebody said to me, Christian rock, and they said to me, what do you think of it? I said, if you've got a fire at home or a bin near, burn it or put it in the bin. There's no such thing. I don't believe in it. Now listen to me, I'm telling you, I know by experience, music can affect people. My best friend at school was so into Ozzy Osbourne. Now he's a man possessed with the devil ever there's one. I make no apologies for saying that. Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne needs deliverance. Mm-hmm. He is a joke. You know the many souls he's guilty of sending to hell. But this fella tattooed Ozzy Osbourne over his knuckles and everything. And Ozzy Osbourne, and they're into all this rock music, and the jeans were so tight, you couldn't even hardly get them onto you. That's the way they used to dress, black jeans. And this one fella I knew, he's my best friend, and I never was into music. Music never had any effect on me. When I look back now, it was gone. It's the same with the smoking. He smoked and I tried the smoking, but I never got hooked on the smoking. I never really got it. But he got hooked on it, I didn't. But one morning, his mother never washed these tight Ozzy Osbourne black jeans. And you know what he did? He overdosed. He overdosed. That's how much he was into it. He overdosed. And I visited him in the hospital, he's almost dead. I tell you, it's no joke. When someone kicks a young person, it's no joke. I want to tell you, shortly after I was saved, and you know I've told you the different things God showed me. Well, one morning the Lord showed me in an open vision that same young man at a riverside ready to drown himself. Should I never go off this pulpit, God showed me it. And my brother Philip knows it's the truth. And I drove right to the spot. I'll tell you where it was. You know, for Iron Derries, they had the big, they sold the milk. Right there at Gill Hall. At the gates of Iron Derry, there's a bridge. There's a river right down in there. God showed me exactly where I'd find him. He was ready to drown himself. I went out, got in the car, went out. There he was. Right, ready to drown himself. The Lord saved him. Death and hell follows him.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you something, he'll take you down a road you might think it's fun and joy, but he'll take you further than you ever want to go.
Yes.
Let me tell you, when the devil takes you down that road, he won't release you and let you go like a good wee boy. He'll hold you. But Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly.
Right. Amen.
God's people need to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need to sing songs that's anointed, so hymns that's written by anointed men and women of God. The Lord likes that.
Right.
We don't need the world's music.
Right.
From the pit of hell.
Right.
We want God's music. Now, I didn't even plan to preach anything about music, but it's happened now. And I'm making no apologies for it. That's the truth.
Right.
Maybe you have someone else that holds you. I have a wee friend and he smokes and he tries to tell me, he complains, you know, that he hasn't enough money for this and enough money for that. And I told him the other week, I said, if you see him, what you're smoking, you could buy yourself a brand new car. Oh no, I couldn't. I says you could. Two boxes of fags a day is a free fit. I don't know exactly what they cost. I'm sure they're £10 a box at least now. Somebody told me the other day they could be as much as £15 a box. So he's puffing into the air £20 a day and he's complaining. And he's driving a lump of scrap. But like Davy Bailey said one time, he said you can drive cheap scrap or dear scrap, they're all scrap.
Right.
Anything man makes doesn't last.
Right.
But I'd rather drive good scrap. Amen. Now I don't really agree with it, brother, what he said. There is good cars. How many believes that? But all I'm trying to make the point is this man, and he's a friend of mine, and people's hard to talk to. But he puffs it into the air. And then he says, I'm quitting. Come the new year, I'm quitting. I knew he wouldn't. I knew he wouldn't quit. But I knew the devil would give him a decoy. And he decoyed him good. He says, I'm off the face. I says, that's great. I'm smoking the pipe. Now let me tell you, and you can go and check this, but you see, when the devil tells you, you know these modern pipes, and there's nothing as disgusting as a woman coming along in a car, walking down the street, and like a steam train, and she's smoking a pipe, it's just vapor, does you no harm, that's a lie. Now here's the proof of it. You can check this, if I'm right or not. Anyone that smokes the ordinary cigarette, and there's 101 ingredients in a cigarette, and the rat poison's one of them 101. And you can check that that's the truth. I have information all about it at home. I researched it one time. But you research it with this vapor that they're smoking. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you quit smoking the ordinary cigarette, they say that after a period of time, your lungs can restore back to normal health after a long period of time. But they say with the vapor that's in these modern day pipes, it's irreversible lung damage. And then they say this is easier. That's the pale horse rider right there. That's him. If you think he's giving you a lesser than what you have, that's a decoy.
Yes, amen.
It's a decoy. And you know what a decoy is? A decoy is a wee plastic pigeon that you set in the field, or a plastic duck that you put in your bog, and that plastic one attracts the real one, and when the real one lands, you just blow him away. That's the enemy. He wants to decoy you. I tell you, you want to give him his whole package. Pack his case. I remember in Birmingham, England, I preached a sermon about packing the devil's suitcase and give him a good boot when you put them out the door. And I tell you, I preached it in that service. And there's a man in desperate bondage and God delivered him. Right in the meeting. He was from India. I remember it well. And he went back home and he got the tape of the service and he played it in his home, and another person in his home was delivered when they watched it. And that man went to George Martin's meetings. And I never knew about it for years, but God done it. Packed the devil's case for him. Why do you work for him? It's his, not yours. Send him on his way. How many believe it? Death. There's no good thing follows death. There's a smell of death. There's a corruption of death. There's no good thing follows death. But the everything good follows life. Jesus Christ is life, and that more abundantly. I'm come to give you life. You see the state of the destiny, the son of perdition. Judas was a son of perdition. Judas had a destiny, hell. Do you know that? Every one of us was dead in trespasses and sins. Every one of us was aliens, thrown away from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Read Ephesians, it tells you. Having no hope without God in the world. But chapter 2 and verse 1 of Ephesians says, but you had it quickened. And that word quickened means made alive. Jesus Christ has made us alive. Let me miss all these things and just get you to this. Death is opposite to life. It never denotes non-existence and the separation from God. So spiritual death is constant existence, separation from God. The person is finally annihilated. Death is an origin which comes from the knowledge of good and evil. And you're either in one state or the other, life or death. The Bible goes further and says there's power in your lips. In your tongue is the power of life and death. He's dying. What? Why would you say that? He's living. Why would you say he's dead? Amen. God wants us to speak life.
Amen.
Oh, but what if it's the case? The Bible says, speak those things into being that are not as though they were. Have faith in God.
Amen.
Believe God.
Right.
Oh, he visits me regular. He talks to me. Your back will never be the same again. You'll always have the pain. Well, I don't have it. Oh, but it will come back. That's him, isn't it? Let me tell you, when God does something, he does it right.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Ephesians 1 and you are the quickened who were dead and trespassed in the sins. Look at Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all of sin. Death came on every single man. Nobody is immune to it. It came on every man. But just as Adam brought death, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, brought life.
Amen. That's right.
Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Jesus Christ brought life.
Right.
Death came because of sin, but life came because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Verse 18 of Romans 5, look what it says. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men, the justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You and me were made sinners. You didn't decide when you were 6 years of age, I'd become a dirty, stinking sinner. But I decided to do this. None of us did. I never decided when I was a wee lad one day, I'll tell you what, when I get to a certain age, I'll do a couple of robberies and I'll wreck a few cars and get into jail. I never decided that. Someone was brought upon me outside of my will that was inherited. I inherited the sin of Adam.
Right, that's it.
I inherited it.
Right.
But Jesus Christ at Calvary assumed full and total responsibility back in the devil.
Amen.
And he gave me a choice that if I believe in Jesus Christ, I'll be saved and born again as Son of God. A new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Right.
And life came in.
100%.
Thank God for life.
Glory.
Verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered the defense made abound But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace overcame. Now that's Christ.
Amen.
Verse 21. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at Acts 1:25. Now speaking of Judas Iscariot, I want you to get this. Now I'm missing a lot of stuff, but I want you to get this for a moment. Acts 1:25 said that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. There was four crosses. There wasn't just three. There was four. How many knows that? There was three crosses at Calvary's Hill, but there was a fourth cross which Judas hung himself on. And his blood spilled on the ground. And he went to his own place, which was hell. Because the Bible calls him a son of perdition. And I tell you, it's a terrible thing. Proper destiny, son of perdition, hell. Now you know Cain was off the knowledge of the tree and of the tree of death. How many knows that? There was two trees in the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the tree of life was guarded with cherubims, lest they put forth and live forever. That's Christ. We know that. But the enemy came into the garden, and you know that it says in the Bible, thou hast been amongst the carbuncles. Thou hast been in the garden of God, Ezekiel says. The devil came down there, and he possessed the serpent. Because he had a plan. And then Jesus tells in Matthew, when the good seed was sown, then the enemy came and he sowed a seed. You know all them scriptures. And the angels are going to sort it out at the end. Matthew 23:15 says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than when he began, than yourselves. So Jesus is not messing about here. He's telling these scribes and Pharisees that when you make a man a proselyte, you make him twofold more the child of hell than their own selves. So he's telling them they're the children of hell. This is why it's wrong. When we talk about bringing people to an organization, whatever it might be called, it's wrong. Are you hearing me this morning? Brother Branham said, people must get to Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that gives eternal life. We cannot bring people to Omega Ministry or any other ministry. They must come to Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? It's just a name for us to have. That's fine. But it's Jesus Christ we must bring people to. He's the only one we need to get them to.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Amen.
You don't have to believe in nobody else to be saved. Only Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I'm missing so many statements and quotes and different things. I'm missing them all. Just for the way of time. It's 5:15 and I'm just 5 minutes and I'm closing. Brother Jeff saw the scriptures I had this morning. He said it must be going to be a long sermon. I probably do use too many scriptures when I preach. I know that. But when you get a lot of hay in the fork. But isn't it good to have the Bible? 1 John chapter 3, that's the epistle of John. Not as Cain, who was off that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
Right.
Marvel not to my brethren, if the world hate you, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
That's right.
Verse 15, whosoever the hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now this body is in a state of death. We are waiting on the redemption of this body to wit. How many knows that? But That's why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit. Because Romans says that the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. He will also quicken your mortal body. Amen. So many different things. Revelation. Death is a state, not an existence, but a condition which leads to the next step, extinction. That's death. You see, this is why this statement is such a wonderful statement. You're passed from death unto life. Are you hearing that? When you are born again, you're passed from death unto life. So even though the conditions of death might be in your physical body, you have passed from death unto life. You're going to get a new body.
Right, amen.
Eternal life is within you. You're not going out to try and get it. But eternal life is within you. How many believe that this morning? Revelation 6 and 8. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Death, hell followed him. He's nothing good for you, for us. But let me read you this. Jesus Christ is life, and that leads to something. And I'm closing in the scriptures. I have to close. Time's going. 1 John 5 and 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God and eternal life. Eternal life. When you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Saved for all eternity. No matter what happens in this body, the Lord's a body for you. You're going to have a body change. Do you realize we are going to have a body change? See all the things we worry about? We're going to have a body change. You won't have the feelings and emotions you have in this flesh. You won't have them in heaven. The Bible says they're neither given or taken a marriage in heaven. How many knows that? You're as the angels. It doesn't say you are an angel, but you're as the angels. We're getting out of here. Jesus Christ coming again.
Amen.
While we're here, the enemy wants to give us a hard time. But we want to refer to God's promises. We want to refer to the Word of God. Remember the three things I believe God gave me them? I'm going to repeat them again this morning. Don't forget them. Don't forget who you are. If you are saved this morning, you're a child of the King. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Don't forget who God is. God is a supernatural being with supernatural ability and with supernatural authority. God is exactly what he says he is, and God can do exactly what he says he can do. And you can do what God says you can do. What would that be, brother? Philippians says all things. Through Christ, what strengthens me. What's the third thing? Don't doubt God's word. The enemy got Eve to doubt what God said, didn't he? It's not how it all started. Hath God said?
Right.
You'll not surely die. But they did. And they passed it on to every generation. Every generation inherited. But thank God for the second Adam. Let's start our feet this morning. Let's just close our eyes as we come to close the service. Praise God. If you want prayer this morning, I want you to be positive. Don't be negative. If you're a person that's negative, you need to pray God helps you. I'm telling you. It's good to be positive. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. God wants us to be positive about His word. You just lift your hand to the Lord if you want prayer this morning. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you're life. You are life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld your glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. You are the beginning of the creation of God. You say, him that hath the Son hath life. Lord, you said that if we even believe upon your name, we receive power to become the sons of God. We believe upon the name of Jesus Christ this morning. We confess the name of Jesus Christ that he is Lord of our lives. We believe that God has raised you from the dead. We believe that you're seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. We believe that you're touched by the feeling of our infirmities, that you're our high priest this morning, the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, that you could swear by no greater, that you swear by your own self, that by two immutable things in which it is absolutely impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation to lay hope upon the hope set before us. Lord, this morning our hope is the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, your servant Jude said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Lord, you're coming again. And you're going to take your people home to heaven. Lord, you said, I go to prepare a place for you, but I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, touch the hearts of your own people this morning in this room. Lord Jesus, for the hands that's raised, meet the need. Touch the hearts. Touch the lives. Grant the power of the Holy Spirit in every life to overcome every work of the enemy in Jesus' precious name. Father, we ask for all this morning that's laid aside sick and afflicted by the enemy, by sickness. And we know sickness came because of sin, but you dealt with sin. Lord, your word says, by your stripes we are healed. Father, this morning heal your children, I pray. Heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be a manifestation of your word come upon your people. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless every head bowed in your presence in this house. Meet every need. You know the needs, Lord. Pray for the financial breakthrough. Lord, I pray for the health, for strength. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless the song leader as he comes. Bless your people as they worship you. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as your brother Gary comes.